Hello, everybody. This is Bill Knauer, and you're listening to Author, where we talk about writing and life, because what it takes to write the book you want to write is also what it takes to lead the life you want to lead. Author to Author is brought to you by Author Magazine, the premier free writing magazine on the internet, featuring articles on writing and the writing life, as well as video and audio interviews with best-selling and award-winning authors across the genres. You can find Author Magazine at authormagazine.org. And we are funded by the Pacific Northwest Writers Association, supporting writers from pen to publication since 1955. You can learn about the PNWA at pnwa.org. They do host a fabulous writers conference every year. I talk about it every week because it is that good. I'll be teaching at it, as a matter of fact, on it's from July 28th to the 31st, I think, to the 31st, yes. And I'll be teaching, among other things, a memoir masterclass on the 28th. That's open to folks, even if you don't go to the conference. You can pay just a smaller fee and just go to one of the masterclasses that are being held on Thursday. It's a great conference, a lot of great editors and agents, great workshops. So check it out at pnwa.org. Well, speaking of conferences, I'll tell you, when I go to conferences and workshops, the elephant in the room, I think, always is success. Success. What is it? What isn't it? It's never spoken about, but boy, it's there. I can feel it, and which is why I'm so glad I have today's guest on, Mr. Joel Fotinos, who, he wears a lot of hats. He's the vice president and publisher at Tartar Penguin, a great publisher, particularly if you're into the world of spirituality and mind, body, spirit, and self-help. But he's also the co-author of The Prayer Chest. He's co-written several other books, including Multiply Your Blessings, A Little Daily Wisdom, and perhaps most importantly, the Think and Grow Rich workbook, because we are going to be talking about today a new release from, that's kind of an odd release. It is a new release, although it's somewhat of a re-release, The Road to Success by Napoleon Hill. And, we all want to be on that road, don't we? Well, Joel has been on it for some time, so let's hear what he has to say about it. Joel, welcome to the show.
Well, hi, Bill. Thanks for having me back on the show. I'm really glad to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you on. Congratulations on the release. As I said, it's not quite a re-release. It's somewhat of a new release. It's a collection. The Road to Success is a collection of Napoleon Hill's essays from his magazine. Is that right?
Yes. He's known for two books, Think and Grow Rich, which was originally published in 1937, and The Law of Success, which was published about 10 years earlier. But before that, he had a magazine, which was called Napoleon Hill's Golden Rules Magazine. And the essays that make up this book, The Road to Success, come from that magazine from before he even published any of his books.
Interesting. So did you serve as the editor for it, or were you part of the people in charge of collecting these?
They were collected. It's 15. He did a set of 15 essays, so they ran in 15 issues.
Oh, I see. Right.
But I did work with the Napoleon Hill Foundation, and this was one of the projects. I mean, there's many Napoleon Hill projects, and we've published a couple dozen of them, and there's many more because he was very prolific. But this was one in particular that we really wanted to get on our list, get back out into the world because of the nature of it, which we'll talk about.
Yeah, so let's talk about that because, you know, it's interesting. As I was reading this book, I thought, you know, success, and particularly the way he talks about it and the way it's talked about, and it's interesting that his journey sort of began at the beginning of last century, his sort of professional journey, really at the dawn of it, is such I think it's somewhat of an American thing, you know, the link between self-help and success and what is and what it isn't. And he was really at the forefront of, as well as people like Carnegie, of asking what is success and where does it actually come from?
He was,
this is where
Well, I was going to say he.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was going to say he spent actually 20 years of his life studying that question. Andrew Carnegie said to him, you know, I will open up the doors for you if you will go and interview the wealthiest people in America, not the people that were born into wealth, but the people who created wealth, who became millionaires from nothing. And he spent 20 years of his life trying to find out if there was a commonality between these people, and he found out that there was. And The Road to Success is one of the books that really encapsulates what those things are that are commonalities from self-made millionaires.
As you were reading the work, as someone who has found his own success in many fields, both the writing and in the business field, how did a lot of these things light up for you as you were rereading? I mean, I know you steep yourself in this sort of thing anyway, but as you were rereading this work, did something in particular light up for you?
It did.
You personally.
For me personally, it did, because, you know, I've been a student of and a teacher of the Think and Grow Rich philosophy now for a couple decades. And so when I got to The Road to Success, my first thought, to be honest, was, oh, this is just going to be too basic. But as I read the material, what I found was a couple things. One is that the material is really the early material that made up the later books. So it comes to the reader in a form that is just very, very basic and simple. It's easier to understand than Think and Grow Rich. It's easier to grasp. But the other thing, the thing that I really liked personally, is that he has these 15 principles, these 15 ideas, and each of the chapters tells stories about these ideas. And I like stories. I like to hear how other people take an idea and apply it to their life, because that's what gives me ideas how I can apply things to my life.
Yeah. And, you know, he really, I had, I think it's I, one of your authors and editors on the show recently, Mitch Horowitz. Mitch, is it Mitch?
Yep. Uh-huh.
Yeah. And so we were talking about, and you can't, I mean, Think and Grow Rich. It seems to me he was one of the forefathers of the idea of the link between thought and the physical world, thought and the clothes you wear, thought and the car you drive, thought and the house you live in. And, I mean, except for, like, Jesus, maybe. I mean, he was really ahead of his time in terms of that. Although maybe As a Man Thinketh was also part of that movement of that time. But it was a kind of a radical idea. It's still a radical idea, I think, in some circles.
It is still a radical idea. I mean, at that time, there was a number of people who were really catching on to this. Napoleon Hill, like you said, As a Man Thinketh, which is James Allen, certainly Ernest Holmes, some of those really early writers, and they really began to unlock the idea that our minds can help us create the life that we want. Now, what you said is really true. That idea is still really radical to this day. And some of the ideas in Road to Success, when people read it, they're going to look at it and they might think, well, wow, this is so simple. But it's simple until you try to apply it. And what I like about this book is he helps you to apply it. He gives you ideas on how to apply it. But once you start to apply these ideas that seem so simple, then suddenly they become incredibly profound and life-changing.
Absolutely. You know, I was thinking about this, Joel, because you're both an author and a businessman and a teacher, too. I know you do a fair amount of teaching about these principles. And I was thinking about thought, because I'm writing a book about writing. And I thought, you know, when I'm writing, and I'm wondering if you find this to be the case, too, I don't think I'm ever as deliberate and meticulous in what I choose, which thoughts I choose to focus on, as when I'm writing. I try not to be sloppy when I'm just going about the world, but it's much harder for me to be, it's almost meditative, the kind of meticulous I am on what I choose to focus on and what I don't choose to focus on. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, that's because I think most of us go through our life, through our day, and we're kind of on autopilot. But when you write a book, you are off of autopilot, and suddenly you're thinking about things in a deliberate way. And Napoleon Hill says over and over again, and he says it in The Road to Success, you need to be deliberate in your thought as much as you can throughout the day so that you're not on automatic pilot. Because for most of us, automatic pilot is a very low setting. You know, it's we don't have really lofty thoughts when we're on automatic pilot.
No,
we have just very
no,
basic
don't.
Thoughts and sometimes very negative thoughts. And
yeah.
So he says at one point that we have to overcome our kind of our automatic thinking using five times the amount of positive thinking. So we have to flood our minds with positivity just to get us balanced.
Yeah. I think that's a great ratio. I think it's absolutely true. And I'm wondering, Joel, if you can you think of do you think of a time when you first recognized being really deliberate with your own thinking and sort of seeing the shift, when you actually understood that you had done that, you had chosen not to think this one way and thought another, and saw, however small, some kind of shift occur?
Yeah, you know, when I first actually began using this philosophy a couple decades ago, I was a guy who was nearly $60,000 worth of credit card debt, and
wow.
I had 23 active credit cards that I was using, and it was, you know, it was a life of paying this credit card, using that credit card, and
right.
transferring balances and all that. And when I read this philosophy and started to understand the power of my mind and how that helped me create it, I remember that there would be times when I would just go into automatic thinking, you know, the lower thought, and I would stop myself and say, no, wait, I'm not going to do that anymore. I have a different way of living. I have now a definite goal, which he says that you need to have, and I'm going to use thinking to help me stay in that higher ideal. And it really helped me. I mean, it really did make a difference. And I remember at the time thinking, wow, this feels different. When I think differently, it feels different. And then what I notice is when I thought differently and I felt differently, then I ended up getting different results. And some of the results, to be honest, were like overnight, and some of the results took a long time. So it's not like it all was magic, but it really, some of it felt that way, but it really was a journey, which I continue to this day.
But you know what I love about what you said, Joel, and I hope our listeners are paying close attention, is that when Joel thought different, he felt different. And you know, one of the things I've learned as a writer is that the real human currency is feeling. So when I write narrative work, whether it's memoir or fiction or whatever, I'm writing about what it feels like to be human in any given instance. I don't care about the actual physical events as much as what it feels like to be human, because I think humans, above all, want to feel good, whether they admit it or not. And what I loved about what you said is you thought different and you felt better. And so whether you got a physical result or not, whether your credit card went down in debt or whether you found yourself in a better home, you felt better. So right away, there was immediate results because you felt better. And don't you always, 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 always want to feel better? Is there ever a time when you don't want to feel better? Never.
It's absolutely true. And one of the reasons I felt better is because I felt like I was contributing to my own life, because so much of my life felt out of control. And felt, you know, in a way, I was at the mercy of outside forces. And when you read books like Road to Success and Think and Grow Rich, what you discover is, oh, wait a second, no, I really can be the architect of my own life. And that idea has kind of caught on, but it takes a gift to be able to take that idea and explain it in a way that we can actually use it, which is what Napoleon Hill had. He had a gift to impart that truth in a way that we could actually apply it to our lives, which is why, by the way, we're still talking about these ideas, you know, which in this book, The Road to Success, were published 100 years ago, and we're still talking about it. We're still trying to catch up to it. As you said, he was ahead of his time, but because he was so brilliant at explaining it, we're still talking about it.
Yeah. No, he was. It's funny because I've spent the last 7 years writing within, not specifically this, but within the relationship between thought and success and thought and feeling and thought and creativity. And it's a tricky business to write about, because it's Well, you describe yourself as the spiritual businessman, and so I think of this as spirituality, and it's, so it's all about stuff that's really outside of the physical, isn't it? You're talking about something that can't be seen, touched, tasted, or smelled, and yet is as real as the chair we're sitting in. I'm sitting in.
Yeah, I feel that's exactly right. That's a great way of putting it. And, you know, I don't think about in terms of defining what that thing is so much as just recognizing that there is this thing that is larger than us. I mean, Napoleon Hill often would refer to that thing that's larger than us as the ethers. And so we'd put our thought out. We'd put it out in the ethers. And, you know, so it's however we want to define it. And you know, I speak to groups of all religions or no religion or thought systems, realtors,
right.
You know, and when I speak to realtors or business people, car salesmen, I'll just use the word life, because life is bigger than us. And I think most of us recognize that life is a big thing and we're just a part of it. But when we are able to find some tools that help us to access more of this thing called life, then our life gets better. And that's what the Road to Success is all about, accessing more of life so that our life gets better.
Yes, and I love, you said access more of life, because I think one of the things I've, big lessons kind of I had to learn around success and all this is, yes, I am the architect. However, I have to know what my job is and what my job isn't. And there are things that I'm sort of not in control of, but which I can learn how to have access to. And where I used to suffer, Joel, and I don't know if you went through this, perhaps you did when you were in debt, $60,000, is I suffered thinking I had to know things I couldn't know, thinking I had to do things that weren't my job, that was life's job, source energies, whatever you want to call it, that which provides the inspiration. But there was a lot I could do to bring it into my life. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. And, in fact, I think for me, what you just talked about is what I put in my last book, which I was on your show for, My Life Contract, where we discover that there are things that are ours to do, and there are things that are not ours to do. And the things that are not ours to do in life are to figure out how and when it's going to come to us.
Yes,
but
those are the
things that we want to control the most.
That's right. That's right.
but that's really life's responsibility. We have our own responsibilities.
Yeah.
And when we stay focused on the things that are ours to do, it's amazing how now we're working in you know, conjunction with life, in partnership with life. And we don't try to – it's annoying when your partner tries to do your job instead of you.
Yes.
And you say, stay in your own lane. You do your thing, I'll do mine. And that's what life is like too. If we just stay in our own lane and do our things and let life do its things, then it tends to work out much better.
I think, do you know who Byron Katie is?
Oh, sure, yeah.
Byron Katie.
I have a Byron Katie book coming out in a few weeks, in fact.
Oh, you do?
I love
Byron Katie. She's awesome. I think she's one of the best teachers working right now. And as she says, there's my business, there's your business, and then she used the words God's business, which for her, God means reality, what is, or all that life. So there's your business, my business, and life's business, and your job is to pay attention only to your business, not to the
Amen.
Business,
Amen.
Not.
You know,
and it's not easy to do, is it?
No, it's the last thing we want to do, because we love to be in other people's business.
We love
to tell life how it should do its job in our life. But the hardest thing for us to do is stay focused on our responsibilities in our thing.
Yeah.
That's one thing I love about Napoleon Hill, is in all of his books, including this one, The Road to Success, in every single one of his books, the first thing he has people do is the thing that most people don't want to do, which is to get definite about the thing that they want in life or things. And so he says, at one point, he says, in one of his books, he said, if you ask 100 people what they want out of life, 98 of them will not be able to tell you. And so,
you think that's
really
still true?
Oh, I think it's more true than ever, because, you know, I go around the country teaching this stuff, and I literally meet with thousands of people every year, and it's so true. People will say, well, I don't know what it is I really want, or they'll say, there's so many things that I want to do, I don't know how to narrow it down. And Napoleon Hill didn't care about those things. He would say, tough, pick something yeah. you want to move towards. And it doesn't have to be that huge lifelong goal that's going to, you know, open up the heavens and the angels will sing. It just needs to be something that makes you happy. It doesn't have to be anything other than that. And as you begin to do that and get more practiced in making your life geared toward the things that make you feel creative and happy and well-being and meaningful, you're going to end up affecting the world in a bigger way. But you don't have to make that your goal. Make your goal, how can I be happier? How can I enjoy my life more? And, you know, what gifts do I want to impart to the world that would make me feel good to give? And go from there. And he says, be really specific. And that is hard for people. But once you do that first step, then the other steps come much easier.
Yeah, and I like what you said, too, which is, and I find this is very important, which is pick something that you can kind of perceive. You know, you might want to say, I'd like to play the piano a little more every day, you know, or I would like to write in my journal a little more every day, or I'd like to start a business, but something that you can sort of perceive, because it's not your job to know where it's going to go. I've had, you know, I have this a book we just sold recently that I had no intention to write, was not interested in, I didn't think, until I met one person who had one little idea, and we followed it, it was interesting, and then we sold the book. And so follow what is in front of you, what is nearest you and most interesting, and it could lead to places that you can't perceive from where you are now, but we feel good in the pursuit. Is that what you were just talking about?
Absolutely. He has a quote in the book that I wrote down. He says, success is not only about the money you make, but more about the life you live. And so in the first chapter of Road to Success, he talks about finding out what your desire is and then getting definite about what you want to do with it. And he says, you know, get really specific, get really clear, and then write it out. And every day, every night, right before you go to bed, read that thing that it is that you want to do in life. Read it right before you go to bed. And when I talk to people, when I do workshops on this, and I say to people, if you did that one thing, get specific and write it down and read it out loud every night before you go to bed, how would it change your life? And people say, oh, my gosh, well, you know, I'd be much clearer. I'd be more focused. I'd probably get success much more quickly. I'd enjoy things. I'd probably go to bed thinking of all the ways that that would make my life better. And I'll say, now, why don't you do that? And they're like, oh, why don't I do that? You know, of course, I should do this. It makes total sense to do this. I think for some people it sounds too basic to do, you know, I should get specific and write it down and read it out loud. But for the people for whom it sounds too basic, I think oftentimes those are the people who are resisting the success in their own life. Because I don't know about you, but for me, sometimes the simplest changes have made the most profound impact in my life. And I think this is one of those.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I, you know, it's funny you said resisting success. I do think that people do that. People, a lot of times I think lack of success is viewed as the person actually not having something. But I think it's just what you said, which is they have something, but they're not allowing it through. They're actually resisting the very thing that wants to happen.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's a level of
a little different
cynicism and sarcasm right now, I think, happening in our country. And when you read Napoleon Hill, he's not cynical or sarcastic in the least.
No,
he is alive with ideas. He's enthused and energized by life. And so when you read his material, for me, it kind of catches me up in that energy and that spirit and that joyousness that he has. And I love that. But then you go to a cocktail party and when people say, well, what's work? You know, why is your life working? And you say, well, I wrote out my desire as a definite aim and I put it on paper and I read it. You know, they look at you like you're crazy. And yet,
well, you're in the world of New York publishing, which is particularly can be that way, right?
Right. And yet they want the same results. So you got to do the work to get the results.
But but what I love about the relationship between thought and physical success is you have such immediate control over, even here's something interesting, Joel. I don't know if you, are you familiar with the work of Abraham Hicks?
Oh, sure, yeah.
So they did something great around momentum, momentum of thought, which is that when you have a thought, it has its own momentum to it. And so that means if you think a negative thought, you're going to feel bad even after you've stopped thinking it because the thing has momentum. And
yeah.
So that's going to attract an equally negative thought, which you can, but you have the power to pursue a thought or not pursue a thought. You always have the choice of whether to latch your attention onto a thought that's come in, like, oh, other people don't like me, or why did they say that about me? All these sorts of, oh, I don't, nice guys finish last, or whatever the crap thought is that's come in. But we always have the power to pursue it or not pursue it. And that's so immediate and so powerful, just
right.
What you choose to focus on and what you don't choose to focus on.
And I think
just what
one
you
of the
focus on.
Yeah, and I think the question then is, how do we do that? That's why Napoleon Hill's so important, is because he helps you to figure out how to do that. You know, one of his suggestions, qualities, principles is called auto-suggestion. And auto-suggestion is simply flooding your mind with positivity, making sure
yeah.
that you are being as diligent with your thought as you possibly can, not letting yourself get complacent, weeding your mental garden, however you want to say it, but it's just starting to pay attention. And I have found that when I do things like journal and allow myself to kind of be real in my journal and I start to see, oh, look how negative I was today.
Yeah.
know, just reflecting on where I see myself being negative or just kind of going into that zone of, you know I took a shower today, but if I really think about the specifics of the shower, I probably won't remember it because I was on such automatic pilot. I do it every day, and so I don't think about it. And he says, think about everything. Be in the moment. It really is in many ways similar to the work of people like Eckhart Tolle, being in the moment.
Yeah.
Eckhart Tolle talks about pain bodies you know, that come up and that you just notice them. And Napoleon Hill talks about the fact that we need to balance out those things that are negative living inside us with all this positive energy. And you know, it all fits together. And what I do, I agree with what you said earlier, which is he had a very American way of talking. And I think that's one reason why it really strikes such a chord here in the United States and why every year his books are still the most the best-selling personal finance and success books on the market. Although it is interesting to note that he has published in dozens of countries around the world as well. So, I think that probably other countries, my guess is that they think of it as a very American way of looking at things.
Right. But it's so universal.
It totally is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
well,
absolutely.
Joel, this, as I knew it would be, this has been a fabulous conversation, although I'm not through with you just yet. What I'd love you to do is answer one more question for me. One more. You up for it?
I'm up for it.
Absolutely. Good. How about this? Finish this sentence. If writing has taught me anything, it's taught me what?
If writing has taught me anything, it has taught me that, for me, writing is the entrance into my soul. Writing is how I access parts of me that my thinking mind doesn't want to get to. Writing is a way that I can access my creativity, which is, for me, a very soul-filled activity. And writing is a way that I can tell the truth about my life. And I can work things out. Writing is, for me, the most important thing that I do every day, besides little things like breathing and eating. But those things aside...
Seriously?
Yeah.
Honestly,
I've started,
you consider that the most important thing?
I do. I am a big proponent of working every day and waking every day and writing in my journal. And I just allow myself to be completely real and honest in those journals. I always, by the way, burn them or tear them up because Lord forbid that they are around after I go. But because they're not meant for other people, they're just meant for me to just explore things.
Right.
And then,
right.
So that's journal writing. And then when I sit down to do book writing, it's like I'm accessing a higher part of myself, which you touched on earlier. So for me, writing is all about, telling the truth and revealing my soul.
That's awesome. I think that's the correct answer, I believe.
Yay!
I
get an A?
You do. You do. I really do. But I really do, Joel, because I do think that when we write, that when we're writing, if we relax and we let it happen, we are connected to something bigger than us, and we're connected to the best part of ourselves. I absolutely feel that to be the case.
Yeah. And it's interesting, I listened to your show with Richard Bach, when he talked about writing being something that reveals who you are. And I listened to your your talk with John Land, and he talked about adding in the commercial side of writing. And I thought both of these guys are exactly right. They're both exactly right. With Bach, it's revealing who you are, the truth of who you are, your soul. It's the legacy that you leave behind you. And with John Land, it was paying attention to the time that you're in and paying attention to what will work, especially if you want writing to be a career. And I loved that you had kind of both the yin and the yang perspectives on your show. That's what makes your show so good. And
thank you, Joel.
Anyway, that's...
It's lovely of you to say, and I agree. I think that, and this is something interesting. I will leave you this thought. I read many types of books, and I interview many types of authors, as you just pointed out. John Land and Richard Bach couldn't be further apart in terms of what they write. And yet, what I found is, it doesn't matter whether I would ever read the book or not. What I love is when the person talks about what they love, and when people talk about what they love, particularly it's writing, they seem to all meet somewhere. That higher place, I think, that you were just referring, whether they're writing romance or spirituality or poetry or mystery, I think they all meet in that place, that spiritual place, whether they want to call it that or not. I really think we do.
Yeah. Well, it's to me, I would say my language, I would say it takes us to our soul place, and that's the place where we all meet anyway. That's our meeting ground.
Yeah.
So, and how great is that, right?
It's awesome. Oh, Joel, it's always good to talk to you. It always is. So if you write another book, let me know. We're going to have you back on the show.
That sounds great. I'd be delighted. Thank you so much.
All right. Take it easy, Joel.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Yes, it's The Road to Success, Putting the Principles of Think and Grow Rich into Action in Your Life by Napoleon Hill from Tarcher Penguin. Go meet in your soul place, everybody. It's where you belong. I will be all... Next, we're going to right a wrong next week. I'm going to have Zen Crier to Brooke back on after she was rudely cut off by the foul internet. But she'll be back on next week. We'll do it again. Until then, you know what you got to do? You got to go do what you love. Get hurt.
Geico presents sharing versus oversharing. Earlier this week, Claire Tippins shared a princess nickname generator, 3 pictures of her dog wearing a tutu, and 2 online quizzes, including, what candy is your dream castle made of? Claire, your sharing has tipped the sugar scale and turned into oversharing. But have no fear, princess. Geico has something worth sharing with your internet kingdom, like how you could save hundreds on your car insurance just by visiting geico.com. No magic wand required. Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.